Brad Hayes, professor in residence here at WAMC. I guess I got to ask you about the Congress of the United States. And I want to know what it is that is at stake here. So let's start with the campaign for the Senate. The Democrats, there's wide speculation, the Democrats have an advantage here. They may take back the Senate of the United States. What do you think?
I think it's going to be really, really close. That, you know, a decent size victory by Hillary Clinton likely pulls the Democrats into a bare majority. But of course, there's so many different parts to that that, you know, are challenging. For example, who Clinton decides will be her vice presidential nominee. I mean, for several of the candidates that have been speculated about, they are coming from states where the governor gets to appoint the successor till the next election. And the governorship is controlled by a Republican. So, you know, if Sherrod Brown in Ohio, Bill Nelson in Florida, Martin Heinrich in New Mexico, all of those would, as a running mate, would prove to be problematic in the sense that it would give the possibility of a flip right back to the Republican Party. And we even have kind of the same kind of problem, although there's a special election in these cases, so it would be only a temporary problem for like Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts and for Cory Booker in New Jersey. So in that sense, like, you know, it's difficult to play the Senate game right now in the sense that, you know, we just don't know what the seats up for grabs are in full because of the vice presidential candidacy issue for Hillary Clinton.
That is just fascinating. You know, I love talking to you, Brad, because every time I think I've got it all figured out, you give me a perspective which I hadn't had. So if a Cory Booker is chosen, Chris Christie could be the one who picks another Republican.
Yeah, so, right, exactly. Now, with Cory Booker, it's a little bit less of an issue because there would be a special election in 2017, later in the year. So, right. That, you know, it'd be a short period. But importantly, right, if you're thinking not just about 2 years, but you're thinking about kind of 4 years, the terrain changes dramatically, right? The terrain in the Senate is good for Democrats this go around, but the terrain is terrible in 2018. So it's almost certain, while I know you have to play the game and this is being very speculative,
right.
But it'll be extremely difficult for the Democrats, if they were to win control in 2016, to maintain control,
yep,
in 2018. So if you're thinking about that from, you know, Hillary Clinton's perspective, right, and she thinks, okay, I'm going to win, and I'm probably going to have 2 years where I'm going to be able to have a majority in the Senate. And I may not well have that in the House. But if I have it in the Senate, at least I can get some appointments through, like, I don't know, a Supreme Court justice. And so it's going to matter. And, you know, you're going to want to try to push as much through as possible, and you're not going to want to jeopardize the potential for a majority there. So that changes your decision-making calculus for your vice presidential candidate.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the tea leaves here, and New York State tends to make out like a bandit if Hillary wins. If the Senate goes Democratic, then Chuck Schumer's going to be the head guy in the Senate. New York has never been in such great shape.
Well, it's been a while, right? You know, New York used to do all right, but certainly this would be, as you said, a real opportunity for New York to have, you know, key of its favorite sons and daughters in these central positions in government, and that has a way of kind of manifesting in kind of important projects back home, I think New York should be enthusiastic about that kind of ticket. I suppose on the other side, you know, it's Trump, right? If Trump were to win, New York is doing okay there too. So, you know, New York has a kind of renewed prominence. It's exciting for New Yorkers.
Let's talk about Paul Ryan in the House of Representatives. No one really expects the lower house, the Congress, to go Democratic. What does Ryan have to do to build his own star for when he runs for president?
Yeah, it's a good question. Right now, he's playing a really interesting game. Right, he's perceived as kind of critical for unity in the Republican Party, but I think he's playing the long game here, right? He has not yet endorsed Trump. He has tried to, I think, stake out his own game, his own space, right? Trying to keep the party together without, you know, a reliance on the top of the ticket, right? And that's a different kind of strategy than we're used to seeing. I mean, one of the things that Ryan does is he frames himself as his own man. And I think this is very much a test of that, since we already know that all of his lieutenants in the House have endorsed Trump. So this is a test of the degree to which he's able to define himself rather than having somebody else in a higher leadership position in some ways mandate what he does. And it's a really kind of difficult space for him to negotiate. But you're certainly right in that he clearly has aspirations beyond this position, I think, which is one of the reasons why he was so reticent to take on the speakership, because, as we know, very few, I guess one, former speaker has become president of the United States. Polk, right? Not the first president that comes to mind when asked, but although a wildly successful president in his own right, we can do.
You got me there.
Yeah, we can do some Polk history here in a bit. But nevertheless, it's because you have to stake out positions as a party leader. It can often hurt the degree to which you can kind of pivot to become, you know, a statesman-like politician to appeal to the masses. And that can be very, very challenging then when it comes to things like presidential politics.
So to some degree, he becomes, if the Democrats take the Senate, Ryan as the last man standing with a Democratic president, if Hillary wins, and a Democratic Senate, becomes even more important. He doesn't have to share power with the Senate.
That's right. And we already know that there's a strong drumbeat in the Republican Party for Ryan, right? There was kind of this movement to draft him into presidential politics, particularly if there was a contested election. So, you know, he doesn't have a ton of work to do there. It's, you know, there's already a demand for him. He just in some ways needs to get out of the way in some ways to resist you know, any type of Democratic policies that come across his desk. And if he can do that, his stock is likely to rise.
Now, Brad Hayes, we only have 2 minutes, but I'm getting a ton of mail about people who want others like Bernie and others to run as third party candidates. It doesn't work in America. The Constitution basically precludes it. Can you explain why?
Well, we have a system of elections that is largely first past the post or winner take all. And when you have that type of an electoral system, you have the need for a majority that is about 50% plus one, right? That's what you're shooting for in order to secure victories. And as a consequence of first past the post voting, you have a two-party system. And the two-party system, you know, we can understand in a variety of ways, certainly in government where we're very familiar, but it also is very powerful as a force in the electorate, right? That in other words, it creates strong ties for personal identification. It creates kind of habitual patterns in voting. And so it's really difficult to move people off of their voter choice in that regard. You might be able to do it in a small fraction, right? So the, you know, a third party that gets like 10% of the vote is doing really well. But, you know, that's, you know, nowhere close to being able to secure a win. And as such, you know, it doesn't provide much opportunity for a general election victory. It can hurt another party, as we saw, say, in, you know, 2000 with Nader's run. But otherwise, it really doesn't have many prospects of producing a electoral victory in a general election.
Well, Brad Hayes, you've done it again. You've come in on time. Brad Hayes is our scholar in residence, professor at Union College, and knows an awful lot. We really respect everything you do for us. Thanks so much, Brad.
It's always my pleasure, Alan. Thanks.